This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs.
Ain't got no home, ain't got no shoes, ain't got no money, ain't got no class, ain't got no skirts, ain't got no sweaters, ain't got no perfume.
All right, well, hi and welcome ain't to the Unnamed Movie no Podcast. This is Andrew. No this is a deflated day, man. I was just about to enjoy myself, no and then someone reminded me.
Aww. And Douglas is here as well, and we shall transform. And
we are
the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
We are collectively happy that Barcelona didn't win La Liga.
I do not care, but sure.
Don't like Barcelona.
Right. You would have seen that we've had a bit of a hiatus. It was because our fearless leader was working on some contracts. And we're now pleased to announce that not only are we the official podcast of the NBA Finals, we're also the official podcast of the FIFA World Cup 2014. All of your movie/football news will come officially through us at the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I don't know how he did it. I don't even want to know how he did it.
I'm covering all the England news.
I'm just pleased that he's finally done it. He's going to be following the England camp, so you'll be hearing his reports for about 2 days.
Yep.
And then you'll never hear about your problem again.
Hey, the first round is more than 2 days.
You're going to lose the first match, and then we're never going to hear from
it. Yeah, Andrew, you're
and then
your zone, not happening.
Douglas and I will be covering the rest of the tournament.
Yep.
And we'll be walking with a box of tissue for the inevitable ball in that will be coming from the left side of this podcast.
Do you think that Argentina will win?
I think that all the time.
No, do you think they really have a chance?
They have a coach and they always have more firepower than everybody.
I found it funny the other day, turning on JVC. I think it was JVC or CPM, and they were playing matches from the
last
World Cup, and it was an Argentina match, and it reminded me, Maradona was their coach.
Yeah. Everybody kept her. What did Argentina not? They have more strikers and more midfielders than it. And they're, oh, right.
Maradona.
Right. These idiots picked Maradona. No, we have Maradona coach. And he had sense enough not to bring Tevez, which took balls. They almost killed everybody in the AFA. They're like, why didn't you? There was riots. Like, the people showed up to complain that they didn't pick Tevez. And the guy's like, nah. Fuck you and fuck Tevez. I want Argentina to win solely because it's being played in Brazil. Like, outside of the fact that I'm an Argentina fan, there's two teams I want to win. If Argentina can't win, I want Uruguay
to
win.
Yeah, man, Uruguay is a great... But I really like Uruguay.
If Argentina wins... It won't matter that Brazil, if Brazil wins every other World Cup for the rest of time,
yeah,
as long as they don't win the one that is held in Argentina, Argentina will always be able to point to their trophy that they won in Brazil, and no one will care. Or you have 19 World Cups. I remember a time when we went to your house and beat you. Do you remember that?
And you were like, what? I don't even want to have this conversation.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I want England to be decimated.
Oh, they're going to be. Like, because who do they have? They have Uruguay. They have, is it Costa Rica and somebody else? Yeah. Who's in your zone again?
Italy, yeah.
Andrew, no.
Like, I want them to be manhandled. Oh. Because this is the same country that keeps going, can't win anything with children. And then their coach decided, what if we only brought children? And geriatrics. We're going to start geriatrics. And we're going to surround them with children. Which means they won't be able to keep up. But let's see how this works. We'll see. I hear that Italy side is weak. Oh, wait. What's that? This is our official report from FIFA. Turns out Italy side is pretty strong.
Also, in other news, I have a job again, guys. Do I have to go to work tomorrow?
Apparently you don't have to do anything but stay black. I mean, in your case, you don't have to stay black either, but you still have to die.
Anyways, this week, there's a reason why we're spending so much time not going into the actual real podcast. But this week, Douglas was given the choice, and he decided to take revenge on us. Because apparently we've done something to it. We've done some wrong to Douglas. I don't remember what I've done. Do you remember doing anything to Douglas recently?
I don't.
Or do you think this is like an old boy situation where he's just taking the time and just calm down and let time pass and then just release this on us?
You forget that Douglas had to do this. Like, he had to watch it too. Like, it's not a situation where Douglas...
You know those odd revenge movies where they're like, I'm happy that I did it just as long as you
just as long as
you had to suffer too. This week, Douglas made us watch David Lynch's...
seminal work.
Inland Empire. So Douglas, why don't you start us off by telling us what you think this movie's about?
Right. I thought you were going to say, tell us what this movie's about. No one can do that.
Let's hear this thesis.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Andrew.
I wonder if this is going to be our shortest review ever.
Let me read something for you.
No, this is not
Wikipedia.
No,
this is
IMDb
not IMDb either. This says here, Lynch knows all stories are all in our heads. We make them up and then inhabit them. Inland Empire plays with our movie-fed storytelling expectations, line by line, shot by shot, scene by scene, even reel by reel. He toys with the building blocks to get us to look at them in unfamiliar ways. It's poetry. We recognize the individual units of meaning, but the grammar and syntax have been altered. Andrew, that is a portion from the 4-star review on RogerEbert.com. I was about to say by Roger Ebert, but this says Jim Emerson, so it's not really him.
Yes, other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially after he's died.
Well, no, this was done in 2007. Okay. So, yeah, it could have been. No. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And remember when the movie came out. It's like a 2006 movie.
YouTube wants to buy Twitch.
What?
That would
YouTube,
make sense.
YouTube wants to buy Twitch.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it kind of
was. Which means, all right, let me, Google wants to buy Twitch.
So I just want to let it be known that there are people out here that really love this movie. And
aren't there people who like Butcher Boy?
I'm sure there are.
That's not.
But no. I'm just saying there is like a devoted following of this movie. It seems. So I watched this movie. Actually, myself and Andrew, we just finished watching this movie a few moments before we started the podcast.
Survived.
And. As Andrew kind of alludes to, it's difficult to pin down what exactly this movie is about. But the way I kind of see this film, at least from my, not necessarily from what it is, but from my experience and how I felt when I was watching the movie, this film is very much a slippery slope. So, for the first half an hour about a half an hour, maybe a little longer than that, you're not sure what's going on. There are a lot of different bits and pieces that are kind of just coming at you, and you're just kind of saying, "What? Where are they going with this?" And so you feel like you're kind of dropping, you're just going down the slippery slope until finally they give you a leaf to hold on to, and for about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. You're kind of with it, right? So this movie, at least how it was described to me when I read a couple of synopses of it, was that it's about this actress who lands a pretty big role and is in a movie, and the movie kind of, you know, it's almost life imitates art kind of thing, where there's this curse and there's supposed to be a murder and something like crazy things happen, but of course it's Lynch, crazy things are supposed to happen, but you know, it feels like, or it's supposedly rooted in this actress and this movie, and you know, you talk about Laura Dern, who at least for me, based on the things that I've seen from David Lynch, is like Lynch's go-to actress. You've got Damien's favorite guy. Why can't I remember his name all of a sudden? Jeremy Irons. You've got Harry Dean Stanton. You've got all these people. Even Andro kind of spotted Terry Crews in there for a second. There are a lot of, you know, people in there that you'd say, you know what? This might be worth it. But Lynch dominates as usual. And for this 30 to 45 minutes, you kind of hold on for dear life with this thin thread of this movie, which is the actress getting the role and, you know, acting in the movie, and this movie being about infidelity. The infidelity seems to be, it doesn't 100%, but it seems to kind of go off screen as well between her and her co-star. But then, as happens when you're falling down a slippery slope, that branch or that leaf, that blade of grass, it crumbles. It gets pulled out of the cliff, and you're rolling down again. And you never, ever get your footing after that. This movie just has so many things going on. And I know that there must be something that I'm not seeing. I feel like Damien when he talks about the double life of Veronique. I feel like there is something that I just don't get. You know, because when I was watching this movie and I heard Andrew was beside me grunting and groaning and sighing, and he was making all sorts of fuck this movie kind of noise. I wasn't. As much as, you know, I can't, this movie is not what I would call
I've
good.
I told you the story
right?
already.
Yeah.
I gave up on this movie 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you bring it back to me.
Yeah, and that's funny. That's awesome. I love that story. But so this movie, I watched it the whole way through without kind of... without the emotional attachment, be it positive or negative, right? So, I didn't like this movie. I didn't hate this movie because what I was doing, right, after a while, I realized I wasn't watching a movie. I was searching for a movie. I was trying to find a connection between the bits and pieces. I was trying to figure out what is this guy saying, because this cannot be what it appears on the surface. It must be that I'm just missing something. And, you know, you can kind of... at least I almost see it as her, maybe... a representation of Laura Dern... kind of getting into her character or getting... a little bit too obsessed with her character, and lines between reality and acting being blurred and all of that. And I don't know if that plays a role in it. Maybe I'm just not cool enough for school. I just don't get this movie. I wish I got this movie so I could decide that it's the worst movie ever made. I got this movie so I could decide it's the best movie ever made, or if it's just alright. But I don't, and because of that, I'm just left wondering what the hell did I just watch, because I don't know. I really don't know, Andrew. and there are movies where I say things like that but love the movie anyway, and there's some reason that, you know, it just endears you to the movie. This one just didn't have that. It did not. And I should have known, because I've seen a few things that Lynch has done. I've liked some of them, I've disliked some of them. Mm-hmm. But I love Blue Velvet. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? But
I'll give him Blue Velvet. I remember a while back we had a conversation about filmmakers were willing to give up, we're willing to throw them away, mm-hmm. for like the good movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember mentioning Lynch's name, but today let me say Lynch would be one of those. Regardless of, I think there are three of his movies that I actually really like.
Yeah.
I really love. There's Blue Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like Lost Highway. Lost Highway, mm-hmm. is the version of this movie you want.
That's Nick Cage, right?
No. Oh. That is Bill Pullman.
Oh, okay.
It's the movie where I don't quite get it,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of liked it.
Okay.
Right? I found something.
Yeah,
I
did.
and it worked. And I also like The Elephant Man.
Okay.
Right?
I shouldn't watch that. What am I saying?
I'm willing to throw those movies away for the rest of his filmography never to exist.
Ah, no. You almost got me. Like the movie Watcher Inside of Me went, oh, yeah. I haven't seen it. I should watch. Damn it. Just throwing away all the evidence against watching the... yeah, I haven't seen that. No. I guess it's my turn. Look, guys, the movie... let me get closer to this mic so that people can hear when I say that this movie sucks. Alright, so the first problem is we've been referring to this as a movie for this entire time. And it is not.
Actually,
a collection of scenes. I don't want to hear it. A collection of scenes. Scrambled haphazardly together with a thin veneer of some story does not a movie make. It is 3 hours that you can't get back. In my case, it is 6 hours that I can't get back. What it has taught me, though, is that I'm still not there yet. I'm still far enough away from being a movie snob that things like this, I can still see through it. This movie is challenging, let's say. Fine.
Yeah.
This movie is off the beaten path. It is all of those things. It is unexpected. It is whatever. Except it is none of those things. What this movie is bad. It doesn't tell a story. It doesn't try to tell a story. In his efforts to take movie tropes and turn them on their head, what he's done is alienated anybody that would like to sit down and watch anything for any period of time. If you want to see someone truly master the movie form and turn an aspect of the movie on their head, there is Dogville. You can watch that. Right?
there is many a director that has taken movie format in many ways and have twisted them and have made them enjoyable. This is just not one of them. There's nothing there. This is just a chasm of garbage that you stare at and you think, if I stare at this long enough, I'll see something. But there's nothing to see. It is just bits and pieces all over the place. It is the movie version of a garbage bin. Sure, if you rubbish, you rubbish through the garbage bin long enough, you'd be covered in garbage, eh? But eventually, if you stay there for 3 hours, you'd go, there's good things in here. They shouldn't have thrown out all of this. All of this is a waste of time. But it really is. The acting is terrible. The directing is terrible. There is no story to speak of. So, the story is terrible. What are the other things that makes a movie? If all those things aren't there, what am I watching? I'm not watching anything. I'm punishing myself in the name of this podcast, which is what I did. And, or in the name of, I've seen enough movies. There is so many critics can't be wrong. Roger Ebert wouldn't write this glowing review of horseshit just in order to. But that's what happened. When you watch enough movies, regular movies bore you. It's happened to all of us from time to time. You watch a movie and you go,
It's like those other 500 that I watch.
Yeah, I've seen movies like this all the time. It's just another romantic comedy. It's just another action movie. It's just another. So then you start looking for the strange. And then once you go past the strange, then it is. Then you venture into the weird. I can't just watch a strange movie anymore. It has to be the weirdest shit in the world. Or it has to be this script that no one would ever attempt. How about we make a movie about a toothbrush that kills people in their sleep, and then when you try to grab it, it turns into fairy dust.
Death
like,
bed.
What are you people talking?
Just beds that eat people.
Like, David Lynch made Twin Peaks and he went, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen. Man. Like, this is my attempt to make sense. And then you found out, he made Dune? That's not even a movie. And then you watch this and you go, is that it? Is Hollywood paying this guy simply to fuck with me? This is part of the test. If you watch this and you don't immediately go, this is garbage and no one should ever watch it, you failed the test. Hollywood got you. Right? It was a trick and you fell for the trick. Right? You went, yeah. It's like people who take amateur sports seriously. You're like, alright, I've mastered professional sports and then semi-professional sports. And then you're like, no, you know what? If you want to watch real sports where there's no money and bullshit, you need to watch amateur sports because that's where the real sports is. No, that's where talent goes to die. All the talented ones went on to real-ass sports. You should stop watching this because it's a waste of time. This is what you're doing. This is essentially what this movie is. They tested you and I'm not going to fail this test. It's not a movie.
I remember when I was watching all of his movies and I eventually got around to watching Eraserhead, which, thank you David Lynch, I now know you have a movie worse than Eraserhead. I remember specifically, like, at the point, like, I'm not saying I was very eloquently writing anything at that time, I don't think I'm eloquently writing anything ever, but at that point, like, it fired something in my brain where, you know, it's like, it all was almost like a Hulk moment, right? Hulk comes out and he no longer has words, sentences. He just has emotions to go, rah! And that's what Eraserhead did to me. And I remember I got to that point where I'm like, you know that point in time where your friend has a hobby and they think they're great at it.
And
you have that difficult moment in your life where you're willing to either tell that friend, yeah, you're okay, just so that they keep doing it, or you tell them the truth so that they'll stop. I felt someone needed to tell David Lynch the truth at that point in time so that he wouldn't make any more movies. That's what this movie would have done to me as well. If David Lynch as a friend came to me and said, Andrew, I made a movie, and handed... I mean, there's a level of compassion I have with people if they ever... when they do that with me, where I'm willing to, like, see the better... see the good more than the bad. But with something like this, if David Lynch was my friend and came to him, I'd be like,
David.
Hey, yo, dog.
Please stop. I can find you a job in the corner store.
You done
doing me. Something. Like, it's... Douglas, this movie's painful.
How about you be, second director on every movie from now on? You don't get to make decisions. You just get to shoot what people tell you to shoot.
I told you, psychological warfare is what this movie is.
Trying to break down this movie. Like, if you broke it down, you'd just be angry.
There are movies which I feel do the same thing that this movie wanted to do. On a basic level, hearing what Douglas's synopsis said about this movie, and like, as he said, holding on really tightly to the first 30 minutes.
Douglas
what
is grasping at straws
movie.
Because he picked this movie. We've all done it. Tried to justify shit movies.
The movie about someone losing themselves into this process of movies and actually like delving into their minds. We've seen movies the movie with Toby Jones in the Italian film.
Where he's
a sound guy.
Barbarian Sound Studio.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen movies like Vampire's Kiss where we watch people slowly descend. We've seen movies which, like, I'd even go so far as Ingmar Bergman's Persona where the movie eventually breaks itself and you see things happen with the form where you start to question what's real and what isn't. Right? This movie feels like David Lynch wrote down a basic idea and ran with it until eventually he's like, we have to break the wall, don't we? And then he does it at like 20 minutes before the movie is over. I'm going to stop talking. This movie sucks balls. I hate myself for talking this long about this movie. Last week
we're not playing a game this week because I'm punishing you.
Yes. Do I get like duck points?
I am taking away points.
I was just coming up. I could have been a contender.
You're 1 point away.
He hasn't seen that movie.
And I'm.
Oh, of course I haven't. I'm a bad person.
Last week, or more correctly, a couple of weeks ago when we last recorded, I was asking people about what they thought the best soundtracks were. Because I'd just seen The Big Chill, and that kind of was like amazing soundtrack-wise.
Batman Forever, Kiss by a Rose.
Oh, that song is awesome. I love that song.
No, I do.
I do love that song.
I love that song.
Like, more times than not, whenever I hear that song, I'm sad that it makes me think of Batman. Like, I want it to just be Sarah, like, as opposed to me going, like, that was Batman.
What about, was it Look Into My Eyes that
same one
that
Bone
Thugs had on that soundtrack?
Yep. Anyways, so the answers that I got from the internet.
I'm so angry.
Hannah Keffer, or at PurpleCow17. Okay.
That's pretty good.
What's wrong with that?
That's a good ass username. PurpleCow, good job.
Mentioned that she's quite partial to Old Boy. And
original remake?
The original Old Boy. Kind of going into more of a score response than what I was looking for, but
fair enough, yeah.
Cool.
Soundtrack there. I should listen to that.
Rand McNeil from Over at the Matinee, I say cheats. I responded with A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, like, seriously, that's just like playing with a stacked deck. If you're going to call out that movie,
yeah,
but sure.
I like this album.
Charlotte Thomas mentioned with 500 Days of Summer.
Good pick. It's a strong pick.
It's a strong one. Andrew Ellington mentions a list of The Graduate, Romeo plus Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann film, and Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast?
Mm-hmm. at the Luke Irving as well as at Red Rory, both chimed in with Garden State.
Yep.
But solid soundtracks. Regardless of what you want to feel about that movie,
yeah.
Zach Braff knows how to pick a fucking soundtrack.
Yeah, he does. The Shins, man. The Shins!
At Destiny Freak brought up The Great Gatsby.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm guessing he's talking about the more recent one, and not the Robert Redford one.
That soundtrack is a strong-ass soundtrack.
But I'm going to go ahead and give the winner my favorite pick from this. A movie Douglas will quite agree with. To at J. Tabris, who brought in Gross Point Blank.
100%.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, I'd continue to argue for High Fidelity.
I don't remember.
Well, Toots and Eight Metas are on that soundtrack. I think The Clash is on, well, you don't like them, but I think The Clash is on the soundtrack. There's a lot of people on that soundtrack.
Actually,
it's really good. Or at least, I don't know if they're technically on the soundtrack, because as with, for instance, this other big movie, High Fidelity, there are a lot of songs that are not officially on the soundtrack. But yeah, if you listen to what is in the movie, it's loads
it's
of
good.
Cool stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. Red Balloons
is in that soundtrack.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, no. That's the name of the song.
Oh, okay.
Or, I don't think, it's they're a German band, actually. I can't remember the name of it, but the song is Red Balloons in English. I don't know what the German name is.
I'll refer to you
it's really
for
cool.
this one, because you're better at music than Red. Accept the
it's
truth.
Great.
As the
actually,
truth.
I really want to watch that movie now. I think I have it on DVD, but I'm not sure.
You should throw that DVD in the garbage.
That's true. I should upgrade. Hopefully, there are upgrades to be had.
However, let's talk about real shit that happened this week. The Interstellar trailer dropped. Right?
We have to talk about this.
No. We've kind of made it our point not to come on and talk about trailers anymore, because it's not the most interesting things to listen to someone talk about trailers. But Chris Nolan gets an exception in my book. Holy shit, that movie looks awesome.
I have one question for you. Of course, there's not much that... there are a lot of this trailer, it is very well defined as to what we're going into. But I'm curious, at the end... Is it just me, or did I take away that they're actually jumping into a black hole?
Yeah, they're going through some
yeah,
kind of wormhole.
It looks like that.
Nonsense. And from everything
it's
I've
like
heard...
It's like interstellar travel.
Yeah,
know, yeah,
from everything I've heard, like, what we see in the trailer is like the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like,
oh,
that,
yeah.
It has
oh, yeah.
nothing
I would
to do with
so.
It.
That's what it looked like.
That movie's 5 hours long.
Holy shit. If that is 20 minutes... Because, like, I was afraid... when I heard that he's doing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nolan is due a bad movie.
You just have this theory
as
that he's going to fall
because
out.
All directors have bad movies. It is a rule for a reason. Right? And the further you get without making a bad movie, when the bad movie comes, it is usually something spectacular, like AI, that you go, there's no fucking way he did this. There's no way the guy that made all of this ended here. It's impossible. And so that is I know it's coming, right? And so what I'm trying to do is brace myself, right? When you put out trailers like this, I go, yeah. I remember a certain movie, What Name Prometheus, that promised something like this. I'd have liked if Prometheus did this. Focus on the good things instead of the garbage. But we have to accept that some directors are better than others. Nolan is better than your boy.
Who's my boy?
Who directed Prometheus?
Ridley Scott isn't
yeah.
my boy.
Yes, he
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, when I heard your boy, I assumed it was QT we were talking about.
I
that's the only boy that guy has.
You defended that movie real hard.
Prometheus?
Yes.
No.
So we're backing away from Prometheus, though. Is that
you have to show me
I
evidence.
And
you
do you
show
like
them?
Do you like Prometheus?
Next time,
I like it.
The
yeah,
next
time
I come
Prometheus
here,
too.
The next I'm listen to me. You'll have to
you
jump
one.
On the server
one.
And delete that episode. No, because when I get home, the next time I come here,
I'm coming here with evidence.
Yes, I'm happy.
You're going to have to defend the, because I remember catching so much shit from
you. No. Let me make it clear, all right? Let me make it clear. I do not think that movie is horrible. I like it. But I'm not saying I went to Crazy Bat where I'm like,
motherfucker.
Damien, this movie,
you piece. I hate both of you.
Why am I included?
You were
here.
Part of it.
Maybe
you
I was.
That movie.
But I'm not. Am I the one denying this defense?
No.
Exactly. So focus back on your real. So but I don't even remember
bitch.
Defending it. However, whatever. I like this movie. Who cares?
I don't remember being able to defend it.
Exactly.
Please bring this evidence.
I'm going to kill both of you.
Well, I love you very much, my mother. If that's the case, if this is the end of my life, this is the end of me talking on this podcast. You're just going to assume I died.
It's the end of my life. All right, back to proper matters.
Yes,
Matthew McConaughey looks good, which
I like that there were some people who took like the opening shot of that trailer where he's like at the table. And they photoshopped in the beer cans from True Detective. Like, I swore I had to watch the trailer again to make sure it was a trick.
And of course, this movie is dealing with the apocalypse. My favorite kind of movie. Yeah, they're running out of food.
Oh yeah. They don't like when I watch it. I paid more attention to space shit. Then, like, we are doing this because of this kind of stuff.
I enjoy space nonsense. I also enjoy the apocalypse. And Chris Nolan knows how to
make
a
space movie better than Sunshine.
Can Chris Nolan?
Can Chris Nolan make a better
space movie than Moon?
Oh, he doesn't like Sunshine. I don't know about that, but I'm sure he was about to.
Honestly,
you're using that as the bar.
Exactly. I honestly don't remember it that much. Exactly. Moon is fantastic, but I don't remember it that much. But at the same time,
Sunshine.
I do remember not liking it when I watched it.
Love
I do.
Sunshine.
I want to watch Sunshine
again
to. You know, reacquaint myself.
Douglas,
but
you love that movie. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
I love Danny Boyle, but
so
then again,
is,
there's so
is,
many of his movies. Trance, I didn't like Trance, because that's just super average.
It is the best of Danny Boyle. I think it's his best movie.
Right.
I
put it up there, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like,
what else would I put against
it's
that?
Incredible. I guess that's all I can.
No,
so
I think that's the one that.
I think that's
your like, I know everyone loves
like
Train Spotting and shit, but
yeah.
Like Sunshine is just seems
Dog,
special
is,
to me. It seems special.
It's incredible.
Actually, I think about it. He hasn't done that many movies, has he?
He
the
has
only,
a few.
The only bad ones that I'm thinking of
I
right
think
now are Sunshine, Trance, and there was another one. I can't remember.
Slumdog.
No. I like everybody likes Slumdog. Hogan, I like Slumdog.
Feel good.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I like Slumdog.
I've never seen The Beach.
Look,
The Beach. Oh, that was him.
Yeah.
I saw that movie. No wonder I like that movie. Okay. And that was still in the time when I was like, who is this Leonardo DiCaprio fellow? I hate him.
Beach.
But it was fun for what it was.
If you even kind of thought of like Prometheus, you're going to love it. Sunshine.
Right.
It's just really good.
Yeah.
Did you like any other Riddick movies?
No.
Good.
Zero love for
good.
Good.
And I've watched all of them. Why did I do that?
I think I've watched two of them.
I watched the first one and enjoyed that. There's
three
of them.
Yeah.
The second one is a train wreck that I went to care to watch. And this third one, they can't trick me. I'm a grown man now.
I remember I watched the second one first and hated it. But everybody said, but the first one was so great. So I was like, alright, fine.
I
watched the first one and then I hated it. So
no
smooth are so bad.
Which makes sense. If you watch the first one when it came out, like, there was no expectations.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
This is a horror movie. And like, Vin Diesel is in this.
He's in the dark. No, that guy is in it. We don't know who he is.
Yes. Like, what guy? That bald dude. Like, alright, let's see this. And then you saw this is pretty good.
Did that movie come out before Fast and Furious 1?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I think so.
No, man.
Yeah, I didn't know who Vin Diesel was, so it must have been made before the first Fast.
I don't know about that.
And tomorrow they're going to put out Guardians of the Galaxy, like the second trailer where the rat speaks. So I guess you can look at it. And there's a Big Hero 6 trailer that is.
Oh, really?
Fast approaching, so we finally get to see what the fuck that is.
can I tell you, I kind of hate this.
this.
I hate this foolishness about, okay guys, we're going to give you a trailer in about 2 weeks. And then, exactly, and then you're going to get a trailer about the trailer. Not only that, that would be one thing, right? You're also getting trailers on fucking Instagram, was it? where it's like, essentially it's a GIF of the trailer. Why, no, Damien? Why? Why?
It is the 2014. This is how
GIF or GIF?
I pronounce it GIF. I said GIF.
No, not even playing with me. Okay. Damien's not even going to try and play.
I hear the internet something. This is GIF. Is what it is. An internet word that human shouldn't say. Like JPEG. Is it JPEG? JPEG?
Oh, no, no. Actually, the only J is silent. Oh, it's just peg.
Just peg. The only example
is the JP
I have of
silent.
That,
it's just egg.
The only example I have of that in real life, which I get angry at people, is SQL.
Yeah, I hate it when people say SQL.
I hear people say SQL so many times, and
what
never makes sense to me.
No, it makes sense.
After I thought about it, I'm like, but it would have never came like nor intuitively for me to say sequel instead of
how about squirrel. Instead of whenever they say sequel, right? So I coded this in squirrel.
And then no, you've got people. Do people say? I've never heard this, but do people say MySQL?
Yes.
Oh no.
I haven't heard anyone say Postgres SQL. I've never heard that.
When you do shoot that person in the face.
would it really be Postgres SQL or Postgear SQL? Or Postgary SQL? Or Gary?
I know this.
So let's pull ourselves out. Let's pull ourselves out right now. Talking about Interstellar, I guess the appropriate question that I want to ask at this point is, what do you consider to be the best space movie? Movie that takes us out into space, asks us to question our technology as well as our humanity, or just blows shit up in all of the grandiose.
If I say Space Jam, do I have to leave immediately?
Do you want to leave immediately?
Alright, that answers my question.
I want to leave immediately.
I've already discussed the idea of firing Douglas. I think if I fire you, this becomes like a sad situation.
All of a sudden, you're like Mark Maron, just kind of talking to himself.
I think mine will always be Moon. There's a lot of good space movies. A lot of them. But Moon was the first one that I watched when I was an adult and able to think clearly and see a movie for what it is and what it isn't. And everything about that movie. Like, there's nothing I'd change about that movie.
Yeah,
I'll always say Sunshine.
Yeah, so I guess I can't say Moon because Damien said it. I can't say 2001 because I will get murdered.
Yes, you will.
So I will have to go with
in your sleep tonight.
I will have to go with something a little bit more podcast friendly, which would be The Fifth Element.
All right. I'd like to change my pick.
No.
I'd like to second The Fifth Element. Is it
a real killer would have asked about the little red button on the side.
Yeah.
That's always my favorite scene in that movie.
Flustin
that is my favorite scene
paradise.
No, listen. In the inevitable march to 4K and whatnot, a lot of it will be over the internet, and like even when they put out a new Blu-ray standard, a lot of people won't go to it because people don't buy Blu-rays now. DVDs still outsell them now. So the eventual push to super ultra HD, whatever, a lot of people won't go there. If they put out Fifth Element in anything, I will buy Fifth Element and throw the previous one away.
It's great. I mean, I watched that movie,
because
right? I bought it on Blu-ray a couple of years ago, and I watched it. Actually, up to the other day, I was watching that movie, and it's one of those very special movies where you look at it and you know it's very effects heavy. About 99% of that movie would look good today, under today's standards.
Still looks good.
It's beautiful. It's perfect. I want to, again, this is one of those movies by one of those people where I just kind of want to throttle Luc Besson for some of the shit that he's made. If he's able to give me something as great as Fifth Element, let's not even talk about things like The Professional.
Let's not.
Right?
That's really
but,
not.
But
he has thrown, like, he should just have, we should travel through
how
time
does he,
and shoot
how does
him
he make
after the 90s.
Certain movies.
we've traveled through time, we're back from the future. And, dog, we have to shoot you. Like, you have two choices. You can either stop making movies, just say, give anybody whatever reasons. But if we realize in the future,
yeah, we have to be careful. Chosen, please, we'd have to actually, I think we should go past about 2010 because Taken.
No, I understand, Douglas.
Taken.
Douglas, I understand that we'd lose Taken.
But you'd be willing
and
to sacrifice.
Willing to accept. Because what you gain by taking away Taken is Taken 2. And all the horseshit he's been in since Taken 2. Right?
I know he didn't direct Taken, but
Liam Neeson has been in a truckload of garbage since Taken.
Yes, yes.
And while Douglas, it hurts me to know that we'd have to lose right. Taken
but,
in the
but
future.
Also remember, again, you know, for every bad, there is a good. Because Liam Neeson is what he is today,
yeah,
because of mainly Taken, we got, and well, I don't know what your take on this is. These two folks by the name of Key and Peele.
Right.
With the Liam Neesons.
The Liam Neesons.
That is fantastic.
Douglas. I am not saying it is not a hard decision. But for the greater good.
We
have to shoot him. Or tell him he can't direct anything. Right? And threaten him. If he tries to do it, we'll come back here and we'll shoot you in the face with the blunderbuss. Alright? So listen. Focus.
Okay.
Nothing more.
Okay.
What was the question? What are we talking about?
Don't worry about it.
Future movies.
That's the end there. That's the point where I fade out.
Lost in Space.
We're going to come back.
Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang. Breaking rocks and serving my time. Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang. Cause I've been convicted of crime. I hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Working, I'm working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I committed crime, Lord, I need crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store man breathing when he caught me robbing.
How was that?
It was going great until the cutting off of the balls and shoving it up his ass. You know what I do when I'm mad, Paul? I hit a pillow. Just hit the pillow. See how you feel.
There's your fucking pillow.
Feel better?
Yeah, I do.
So moving on into our top five this week. Douglas, linking
what
tangentially to Inland Empire, wants us to talk about our top five crazy movies.
I shall start off. 1, 2, 3, 4,
share
5.
It with you.
Okay.
Top master.
You know what? I'm not going to use this one because I have this on a lot of my lists, so I'm going to. Alright, I'm going to pull up this guy. When you talk about crazy, there are a few people, a few puppet masters, if you will, that you could talk about, and one of those is a fellow by the name of Spike Jones.
I'm Mike Jones.
Spike Jones, he's special. He has his own sort of sensibility. And I think that if you were to just look at any of his filmography, that you could just take any of them and put them here on this list. Also, there's this guy by the name of Charlie Kaufman. again, if you take anything from his filmography, you could just slap it right down on this list. If you put these two people together, holy fucking shit. Especially when Charlie Kaufman engineers and creates a twin, holy fucking shit, that's done. So my number five, I'm gonna go for Adaptation, starring one Nick I Blow the Doors Off Cage. What?
No.
Okay, Damien just has this look like, oh my god. But yes, Adaptation. Right, yeah, Adaptation is great. It's, you know, it works on so many levels, and it makes so little sense sometimes, and it's just great. I love it. It's a movie about orchids. How can you not do something crazy with that? Andrew, what is your number five?
So, let me start out by explaining the fact that I decided to ignore everything Douglas intended of this list.
Good job.
And I decided to interpret this list very differently, very plainly.
Okay.
And some of my movies
mm-hmm.
may fall into what Douglas intended.
Yeah.
My movies are primarily discussing characters going insane,
okay,
as opposed to movies themselves. Which
so,
are insane.
So top five Nicolas Cage movies is what you're saying.
And my number five to start this out is by a director who would fall into Douglas's ideas.
Yeah.
But I like to think of kind of in fulfilling both criteria, both versions of crazy, and it being one of my favorite films by the Canadian David Cronenberg.
Okay.
And this being Videodrome. There's so many things I love about this movie, and more than everything else, I love what this movie is saying about media, especially in the 80s, and what it's saying where media is going, because as far as that movie is concerned, we currently reside in the future, and everything that movie talked about has pretty much become true about media and filmmaking and how people consume and just constantly fawn over media, including ourselves sitting down around these microphones today talking about movies like this. I can't stop loving it, and at the same time we're talking about a movie where someone puts and pulls a gun out of the gash in his stomach.
Wow.
So
you're saying I should watch this movie?
You've never seen Videodrome?
I've never seen Videodrome.
Videodrome is fucking fantastic. And to tell you the truth, I almost bought it for you for your birthday.
Oh, yeah?
A couple of years ago, last year when you turned 30. But I thought you had seen it already.
No, I haven't.
So
I totally haven't. No, Cronenberg is one of those guys where I want to be able to say, as you did with Lynch, I want to be able to say I've seen all of them. Because there are a bunch of Cronenberg movies I've watched and loved. There are a couple that I have not loved. But, you know, again, to be a genius, you kind of have to miss. You have to miss in order to hit, which is what I see, or how I see Cronenberg, at least, from the little I've watched of him.
Okay. It is my turn. Douglas saw a trailer once while we were doing this podcast. Came to us and we looked at him and went, Douglas, you're a lunatic.
I think I know.
There's no way what you think.
And I still want
we're
to
going
it.
To do.
I still have not seen it.
No, you've seen this.
Oh, have I? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Douglas said, "Okay, we need to review this on the
podcast." I know what this is. Oh,
and we went,
this is a good movie.
It's going to be the worst, but it was not. We saw Rare Exports.
Yep.
And lost our that movie. Now, it fits all the criteria. There's someone going crazy in that movie. That movie is... Oh, that movie is all kinds of crazy. Movies that... Like, I'd tell people what that movie is about, but I'd be wasting my time.
Santa Claus.
Just
where
know,
Santa Claus comes
just
from.
Know that at the end, by the end of the movie, they're shipping off Santa Clauses in crates to the rest of the world. And if that intrigues you, strap yourself in and prepare for just a boatload of lunacy. And give Rare Exports a watch, because that movie is
it is the right kind of crazy.
Yep. So, I think it just, it says something about me and my movie watching tendencies. Excuse me, that in making this list, I have so much overflow. I literally sat down about 5 minutes before we started the podcast and created a list, and I've got way more than five movies on this list. Where with almost every other list that we've done on this podcast, it's five. Maybe six?
Five.
Sometimes four.
It's bad words when Andrew says a movie that's on his list.
Exactly, right? So clearly, I'm just a crazy-ass person. Which, again, makes sense. Guess what movie I made us watch? What was I thinking? But, so...
David Lynch should have been the red flag.
Exactly. Should have been a red flag.
That's why I didn't want to do it that way. Because, you know, we would have been fighting.
There's no... I don't even want to talk about it.
So, the way I look at it is these are movies that are not just crazy, which Damien is kind of implying by some of the images that he's showing to us, but also that I enjoyed, right? And there are a lot of them. There are a few on this list that I have to put on this list, and you've heard about a million times, because I have certain loyalties that have to be, you know, they have to be in there. But I'm trying to kind of come with a new bag, in a sense. And so, my next movie, my number four, is one that we actually spoke about recently. Not for a full-on review on the podcast, but we spoke about because we watched it recently. And I discovered, whoa, I'd actually watched this movie already. And it may not fit exactly into the type of movie that, you know, is visually disturbing or, you know, people go crazy or anything like that, but this movie is directed by one of my favorite directors, Richard Linklater. It's his first movie. It's called Slacker. And I would draw a tangent or a tentative line from Slacker to actually this David Lynch movie that we saw, in the sense that there are a lot of different things working in this movie and there's very little to kind of bring them together. So Slacker, you follow about 2,000 different people.
Sounds fun.
On separate conversations, a journey here or there. And the only thing that links them together is that while they're walking down a road, per se, they pass each other. And it's really just kind of like a transitive view of people and things that happen in a given day. And it's, I think, a mix between, say, this Lynch movie, excuse me, and Jarmusch's movie that we spoke about the other day, Mr. Train, where the reason you love it, for some people like me, could be because it's just weird. It's just not the run-of-the-mill sort of movie. But the reason you love it is because in each of those interactions or each of those segments, there's something to like. There's something that you can kind of sit down at some point and say, I'm down with this. I'm enjoying whatever this little moment is encapsulated in time. And it's a really cool movie, at least from my perspective, my crazy-ass perspective.
So my number four, continuing Norton Douglas, mainly because he made me watch Inland Empire, comes from one of my favorite directors, someone who I am slowly but surely coming to the conclusion that I should probably get rid of the one of my section part of that phrase and just say he's my favorite director of all time, and it is Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. When you have to talk about a movie that deals with a character slowly but surely falling into this hole of madness, there are so many movies which do use this same idea of having what they're doing be the thing that they fall into and kind of helps them not realize that slippery slope they're falling down. I mean, we could talk about, as I already mentioned, the Toby Jones Italian movie where he's doing the sound for It does the same thing.
Yeah.
And the one, a big movie which I should have probably put on this list, but I didn't, mainly because I like Black Swan this much, which Black Swan was influenced by two movies, actually, is the anime film Perfect Blue, which I don't know if either you guys have seen, but it's fantastic.
I think I've seen it. Remind me which one it is again. Is it the one with the dream?
The
that's Paprika.
That's Paprika.
Which one's Perfect Blue?
Wow.
it's this film about this singer who... pretty much the same story as Black Swan. It's just slowly descending into madness. And there was a stalker involved at some point. It's amazing. And also Michael Powell and is it Emmerich Pressburger? Powell and Pressburger's film The Red Shoes, which hugely influenced this movie. Both of them deserve to be on this list, but out of personal bias, Black Swan is kind of just encapsulating that pick. I love it. It was my favorite movie of 2010 when that year ended, and it still kind of is.
You know, it's really interesting. I was listening to, I think it was Ryan's podcast, I think it was the Matinee cast, and he was talking about Noah, which is, you know, the latest movie from Aronofsky. And he said something along the lines, and I'm, forgive me if I'm wrong, but he said that Noah script actually started as a piece of, and I think it's the Black Swan script, which is really... like, where, how do you, you know, separate those two things and make
both
them become...
Both of them are people becoming crazy.
No, but, I know, but at the same time, you know, if you just look at what Black Swan is and you look at what Noah is, they seem so diametrically opposite, but, yeah, wow.
It's, like, I think that's a lie Aronofsky is telling us, just to make us think, oh, that's interesting, to mess with
you. What, Aronofsky messing with people?
He's kick-starting all the think pieces on The New Yorker by saying that out loud. Yeah, that's my number four.
The New Yorker is resorting to Kickstarter?
You feel better about yourself,
yep.
Don't you?
I'm just going to go from strength to strength in terms of crazy nonsense. What if a car could talk?
Oh, please, please let this be what I want it to be.
No, I want you to work your way backwards to the start of a movie. There's a man in a suit. And that man does things. He drives in a limousine for a long time.
Oh.
From point to point. And becomes different people.
It's been so long that I've forgotten.
Then you watch Holy Motors.
It's so good.
And you lose your mind.
Okay, so not to cut you, but when you started talking about what if a car could talk, I am a horrible person. My mind first went to
cars.
The 1990s. No, the 1990s made for TV movie. For Knight Rider.
Sorry,
yep. I totally wanted it to be that. However, let's put a joke aside, Holy Motors is amazing. It's awesome. I love that movie.
Forgetting I promised to watch that movie again.
That movie just like it cradles craziness and just squeezes a movie out of it. And at the end of the movie, just for the fun of it, you're like, no, here's this. And it just closes the movie. Like, what just happened there? Oh, no, movie's over.
Man, and Damon, you're good. For some reason, that is not on anywhere in my list. Nowhere. Which is a travesty.
What happened? We don't know. And we don't care. Let's move on.
Okay.
This is the... the movie is... Remember that movie starts out and he's just a guy speaking to his children, and then he goes into a car, and then the movie just goes. And by the time the movie is, you're like, what in God's name is happening? And then the movie, right at the very end, when it has you, it knows if you've made it here. It doesn't matter what happens at this point, it already owns you. And then just for the fun of it, just that ends, just that scene right before the movie ends. Just go, what in the... Right while you're trying to focus and work out what just took place, the movie's like, don't do that. We have something special for you. And then credits. The movie's incredible.
Oh, okay. So, my number three, I believe I'm at now, is the latest... and perhaps the best example of a movie kind of just like this Lynch movie that we watched, in that, you know, all throughout this thing there's just what the fuck moments. And what happened? So yeah, and at the end my jaw drops. I have no clue what I just watched. I don't even know what just happened. Do I even know who's in the movie? Maybe. I don't know. But at the end of that movie, the movie finished, my finger twitched, and I was ready to press the play button again. And again, it's another movie that we've spoken about very briefly on the podcast, and this is Jake Gyllenhaal's Enemy. That movie, I don't know what it's about. I don't know what happened. I don't know what is real from what is fake. I don't know what is a dream from what is the waking world. I don't know anything. I do know that I love that movie. And for that, all of those people that are in that movie, that directed that movie, I will probably be down with them for life. Probably.
2004 for life.
For life.
Same guy who did Prisoners.
Yeah, I know. And that movie again wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't as great as everybody kind of, at some point people were starting, it was like this thing that kept building on each other. Somebody said, you know what, this movie isn't as bad as I thought it was. Then somebody else was, no, it's pretty good. Then somebody else was, this is the best movie ever. But yeah,
and then it went back down. Then it went back down. Everyone who went in was best movie ever. It's not that good. No, it's a little good. No, it's not. And then eventually you reach that middle
yeah.
point.
Yeah, and I'm there. I'm like, I like the movie, but I don't know if it's the best movie ever made.
Yeah. All time.
Yeah.
So my number three is a movie Damien is quite a fan of. I am as well. It's Shutter Island. You want to talk about people being crazy? Leonardo DiCaprio
yeah.
in that movie.
Yeah.
Kind of great. I don't Super think we're talking about it that much because Damien talks about it all the while. Just going to let it go.
It's pretty good. It's really hard to find movies crazier than the first two movies. And so I've kind of switched it halfway. Mostly because
it fits in with the premise.
Right.
It's a craziness, so there you go.
On the fly. I'm going to talk about the movie with the craziest visuals I've ever seen.
Awesome.
And if there's one movie that will never, ever, ever, like, I don't care what happens, if they start burning movies, I'll throw myself on the fire to save this movie. It is The Fall. That movie is the most beautiful thing that has ever been.
But crazy, though.
Do you remember? You're not. No, I'm not talking about crazy visuals in terms of it is like going to send you into epileptic shock.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about.
No, it's beautiful.
When you look
yeah.
at that movie, especially for what that movie is trying to do,
mm-hmm.
that movie, it is insane how pretty that movie is. Kind of for no reason. Like he's telling a story, but did he need all of that in there?
Yeah,
no.
He did.
But it helps that you put them in there. And it is... There's...
I don't know how I don't own this movie yet.
There's times...
Why do I not own this movie?
The amount of times that I've taken full screen screenshots of just a scene in that movie, just had it as my desktop background for months. And people... What's that from? It's from this movie. Don't watch that movie. I love it. You will not. But that movie... Like, it's just beautiful. It is... In my opinion, it is the best looking movie I've ever seen.
Quite possibly.
Like it a lot. It's sad that Tyrone Singh has gone on to make a train wreck of garbage.
But
that's
we should have known because
nonsense.
Remember, Tyrone Singh, even before The Fall, was the man who gave us a movie like The Cell.
Yeah.
You know? So while he knows how to make things
lucky
pretty,
once.
He got.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
And I will accept that. I'll take that.
But at the same time, I will watch every one of his movies to find another mistake. I really want to find it.
When he fucks up and makes a good movie. I like The Immortals. No, you don't. It's not good.
Nope.
Then he did Snow White after
oh
that.
Oh my god, that one was bad.
Make The Fall 2. You know, nope. I'm sorry. Don't do that. Leave that movie alone. I'll come there and shoot you in the face. Paramount announces The Fall 2.
Well, I guess I'm going to the States after all. I'll see you guys in like 25 years. This is certainly premeditated. Hey, I'm your biggest fan. Turns out you can't make the fall too. No, can you?
And then Paramount is like, Tar Simpson has a brother. He will fill in.
And I'll just start writing letters from prison. I'll get out eventually. Believe me when I tell you. If you do this, I'll find you. And I will kill you.
Okay. So, all right, number two. And Andrew, Damien, I had to do it. Yes. There was no way I couldn't. Terry has to be on this list.
What?
He does.
Cruz?
The question was not, will Terry G be on this list? It was, which one? No, not even just when. Which one or how many of Terry G's movies will be on this list? That was a question.
So we pull out the Guillermo.
How long do I have to wait until this happens?
And I decided only one. Well, in a sense, the rest of them are Terry G movies. But anyway, only one really official Terry G movies on this list. And in order to do so, I had to do a lot of soul searching. Mm-hmm. A lot of deep, dark thoughts about which one is better than the other.
Pick the one that aligns with your World Cup pick.
And very well done. That's exactly the one it is. The movie by the name of Brazil is Crazy as Fuck. I could have gone with another one that was visually more crazy, but you know what?
Let's stick with
Brazil, which is both visually and the right kind of crazy. Especially because there are about 50 million versions of this movie out there, depending on who your name is, what country you're in, who bought what movie you bought.
Do you drink coffee?
Exactly. And is it from Brazil?
Click X.
Exactly. But this movie is fantastic. And Andrew's making faces like I have stolen his number one or his number two. but Brazil, just fantastic. Crazy as all balls. I had to be on my list. Andrew?
So you're not seeing... My number twos are in there.
Okay.
You got to head out of the list.
Yeah, I like your list.
My number two isn't on the list written there. And Douglas came close.
Oh shit, right? That's my number one. God damn it.
Fucking close.
Oh,
right? No, you're going
because,
to stab him.
Because he picked a movie, which the movie I'm mentioning plays a lot of.
No! It's my movie! That's my number one that he's going to take!
Plays a lot of knowledge. And not only is Douglas going to stab me because.
Oh my god!
Because but you might stab me because this brings up another one of our patented Tiff moments.
Oh no!
Movies. And it is Richard Ayoade's The Double.
I'm going to have to end this with some shitty.
Fuck up, son.
Like, mistake of a.
Hush up.
Oh no!
The thing about this movie is the more that you start to go into what is happening literally in this movie, is the more you start to reject what the movie is giving you, and then you have to start thinking of it as a more metaphorical and a psychological experience, and you start to realize that this movie is fucking crazy, right? And it's fucking crazy in the best ways. It takes Eisenberg's character, who finds someone who looks exactly like him but is the personality opposite, coming into his world and fuck shit up in the best ways.
Of course.
I love this movie. It was easily one of my top five from last year's TIFF.
Easily.
Still
have not seen
it. And I cannot wait for Damien to watch it because he will love it even more.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the Eisenberg.
It's probably a shared number one with the other movie I made you watch recently.
So yes, that's my number two.
Andrew's list so far has been about crazy people being crazy.
That's your number two?
And that is where I will pick up. These are my number one and number two movies about lunatics. Coming in at number two, we've talked about this movie. We all love this movie. We've all had a long and hard debate about this movie. The movie is Take Shelter.
I have never watched this movie.
He didn't watch it when we were talking about it.
So it's just me.
Yeah. I want to, but I've never watched it.
And I still haven't watched it again since we talked about
it's
it.
Your turn. That watch better movies than Take Shelter. I understand.
We did watch better movies than Take Shelter.
You think there is movies that Tiff that are better than Take Shelter? You are wrong. And because Douglas has thrown Tiff in my face again, I'm going to stop her. Number one, Douglas.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. So listen, it's almost a blessing. It's almost a blessing in disguise that Andrew stole my movie, because I look back on my audibles and I realized that there was some representation that was lacking. A representative, a full-fledged member, nay, perhaps the president of the fucking crazy club, who is not on this list. Damien, how can we have a list without Mr. Von Trier?
Specifically did not do that. Because that is only the right type of crazy.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about his movie is usually him.
Exactly.
Not the movie.
But you know what? This movie, it's the movie. Right? And actually, most of his movies, it's a movie. We're just crazy enough to take it as normal.
Those movies are normal to me.
Exactly. But this one goes out on a limb. This one, and the thing, it's so sad how many times I've spoken about this on a top five that I started typing the word. It's not a real word. It came up in my autocomplete.
Yeah, I think it's time you give that one a rest.
I know. But Dogville is just... Andrew, have you watched the movie yet?
Still haven't.
That's the thing. You keep hearing us talk about it so much, and you wonder why. And you say, come on, give it a rest, guys. There's a reason. Alright? This movie
is... I don't think me watching it is going to change that fact.
Wow. Right? There's just... And whether you like it or not, you have to respect what this man is trying to do with this movie.
It's just, and you fall subject to the same thing. It's my process of watching movies.
Yeah,
Even though you guys will remind me, I remember today. I'll be like, I should watch that movie, and it comes up, and I sit there, and I'm like, I don't think I want to spend 3 hours with this today.
No, and I understand.
And then a week passes, a month passes, and you just haven't done it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not saying go watch it. No, I'm just saying, I see.
You should go watch it now.
I see your frustration.
I'm not frustrated at all. I'm not frustrated. That's the thing. I'll watch it eventually. I know I will.
Yeah.
So I don't sweat it.
Yeah.
That's a lie that you're telling yourself. Do it now.
But yeah, guys.
Stop procrastinating. Future Andrew is you. Your future. Do you understand that, right? Future me will sort this out. He'll fix my money troubles.
pray tell, what the fuck kind of movie is better than The Double?
So my number one is a movie.
It's The Triple.
Or would it be The Single? Which one would be better, The Single or The Triple? Okay, sorry.
My number one is a movie that not only is it about a man falling deeper and deeper into his own craziness, but more than that, I kind of like to view it from a filmmaking perspective about one of the craziest filmmakers who's ever graced cinema in its history. And it's actually someone who I used to have a strong disliking to in the past, but more and more over the years I have warmed to him and his films. And I actually looked it up the other day. I think there are only two films of his I haven't seen to date, and that will quickly be remedied. And it is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Because I don't think anyone can
that's better than The Double?
Fuck yes.
I like The Shining.
I haven't seen The Double.
Also, I will give The Shining a bias. because I've seen that movie like 5 times, so the double I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
Maybe in 10 years' time, when I've worn out all the discs I've owned of the double, we can come back and I will.
I hear you, and also, let's admit I have a Terry G bias for the double. So yeah,
Douglas saw Terry Gilliam oozing out of the screen of that movie and couldn't stop loving it.
It's almost like he has a.
Yes. But yeah, The Shining, guys. Look, the movie's great.
If you haven't seen The Shining, just stop listening to this podcast. Just go fuck yourself. Just stop. No, we don't care anymore.
What if they haven't seen Dogville?
That is fine. That is our movie for crazy. You can't say, oh, I like movies. Have you seen The Shining? Then what movies do you like? The bad ones. Oh, alright. This movie is climbing its way to be one of my top five, like, movies I will die enjoying. It is gaining Ikiru status. It is gaining Rambo status. And the movie, it is not a complex movie. It is a simple movie about a lunatic doing things that lunatics do. The thing that is different about it is that the movie isn't from the perspective of the lunatic. It is the perspective of the lunatic's mother and how she deals with the ramifications. The movie is We Need to Talk About Kevin. And that movie is fucking perfect.
It is.
There's nothing wrong with that movie.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
Movie. To my grave.
I thought
so
you were
good.
Going to a country that we adore.
Look, we have to leave Koreans.
That's cheating.
You're right. I'm afraid of them. And they are trying to take over the world, and I don't.
But yeah, we have to talk about Kevin. That's a great movie.
Like, the casting is perfect. The casting is too perfect. Like, John C. Reilly. Like, I don't even talk about the two people that I'm supposed to talk about. Casting John C. Reilly. Like, I wasn't his biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I love him.
He comes in comedies that I'm not 100% on.
Oh, but that's even late John C. Reilly.
Right.
Like,
and
John
then
C.
when I think about his other movies from earlier, I go, yeah, I like some of those movies. But it's never been, he is the reason why I like those movies. Watching him in this, watching him play essentially just this regular father figure, just watching him kind of be oblivious to essentially Satan. And you just go, alright. And when the movie ends, like, the movie, like, it is told, it is some of the best usage of what do they call it? Asynchronous? What do they call that thing? Where you mix up the timeline in the movies. I remember.
Oh, anachronisms?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Like, it is the best use of that in a movie. Like, it is done on purpose. You see her and you see people hate her and you go, alright, fine. They hate this woman. Clearly something happened. And you assume it must have been her fault. And then you see her being put through years of torture by this lunatic. And then it happens and you go, this is, like, how are you born crazy? How did that happen? And you see the ramp and then you see it happen. And then you see this lunatic's mother have to look at him and go, I'm still your mother. Still have to do this. Still have to live with you and all of this. And you go, this movie is the best. Especially for someone like me, I am, some would say, overly cynical. Right? And I've accepted that about myself. And to see someone essentially give themselves their whole life's pursuit to this thing and have it literally blow up in your face. You go, So that is why I don't like people. This this is it. This can happen. And it has happened.
love every second of this movie. There's nothing. I've shown this movie to every person that I come in contact with. If you come to my house, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And if you say, no, you haven't seen this movie.
Have you killed anyone yet?
You're not leaving the house.
How many people have you killed?
When people come over and they're like, we're here to watch X movie. I go, as payment, you have to watch this first. It's going to be an hour and 30 minutes. And you're going to stare at your children. And you're going to say to them, if you try this shit, I'll kill you first. That is how I want the world to be run. By people who look at their children and go, if you pull anything even close to this, I'm going to kill you. Everything would change about this. This world would be a better place. And that is what I want.
You want to make the world a better place?
That is my platform for the future.
You want to make the world
a better
place?
Everyone should watch this movie so that the world can become a better place.
I didn't know you had hopes for the world.
I don't. Really don't. We need to talk about... It's better than all your movies. I haven't seen the double.
So you're just guessing.
Maybe the double will be that movie. Everything else, though, you guys are not even close.
I feel proud about the double steal.
Brazil is really good.
Yes, it is.
Oops. I work up at. It took me a long time to see it. It took a lot of, let's say, light nudging on Douglas's part to get me to watch it. Then I did. I know I see why you like. Like, for a long time, I didn't understand why you like TG.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just saw terrible movies. And I saw that and went, alright, fine. So what we should all... No, but he said he did the double. He made the double.
No. Richard Ayoade made it, but clearly it's hugely influenced
Even
by
better.
Gilliam. What I do we're want to watch is Gilliam's movie, Zero Theorem. That's what it's
that's
called, right?
Year.
Yeah.
So we're going back in time. Again. Second trip. We're killing TG after Brazil.
but
we won't get Fear and Loathing.
That is
there's
okay.
So very few movies of Terry Gilliam's that aren't good, 12 though.
Monkeys
is fantastic. You don't like that movie?
We can't
what about that. I haven't even watched all of this movie and I like it
fine.
Already. And there's Fisher
we'll,
King. What about Fisher
we'll
King?
We'll kill him after the 90s too. We'll get all of that. And post 90s, before he starts calling people like Jack Black.
Imaginarium of Parnassus.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I need to watch that again.
No,
I was in a bad mm-hmm. place when I saw
nope,
that movie.
Nope.
But yeah, I didn't like Imaginarium at the time.
Wait, what movie was Jack Black?
I don't know which one's Jack Black, but you just spoke about Imaginarium. Mm-hmm.
But that's not Jack Black.
I know,
what's
Jack Black?
I'm confusing. I'm talking about Imaginarium.
Oh, okay. You're talking about who?
Name.
Jude Law?
No, not what's his name, and he died.
Dark
oh.
Knight.
Dark
oh.
Knight. Right, it is the Dark Knight thing. That is why Black came up.
Everything from the Dark Knight
in blackface. Heath Ledger is one. I'm very sorry. I don't know how my brain mixed up those two lunatics. Yeah, Imaginarium was that. We like it. But
well, I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I remember
I
liking
wasn't,
it.
I didn't
haven't
like
watched
it.
So we're cutting it off.
No, man. No.
Right.
He can do better. He can do again.
Zero Theorem.
Yeah.
All right, fine. We'll leave him alone. Until we see that movie.
And then you can make a, you can make a judgment.
I'm building a list. People we should kill after
you're
going the
to
90s.
Send Terminators after them.
But yeah, we should make that list. People that should have been murdered after the 90s. The Wachowskis.
No.
One Matrix.
Well,
we'd have had one Matrix.
I agree.
I don't know.
No.
I give up.
I am willing to give up
Cloud
Atlas.
I love that movie.
Both the Matrixes
right.
and
one
Future Vomit.
Right.
Why do you keep calling it that?
Speed Racer
for that response.
Speed Racer and two matrices. I'm willing to give up for. Think about if we only got the one Matrix. Everybody just like all of the hatred
so
for Matrix.
Basically, what you're
one perfect Matrix, and then they'd be dead.
What you're asking for is for people to stop making sequels.
No. I'm asking for people to not make bad movies.
I'm pretty sure Future Vomit wasn't a sequel.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I enjoy that movie, Andrew. But I'd give up that movie. In
no,
a,
but you see...
I'd give up that
see,
movie
I'd give it
for like
up
ice cream.
From not liking it.
I don't know.
I'd give it up for ice cream. Like, not even a real thing. What so, are you willing to give up?
So, what would you do for a contact bar?
Yeah, I'd give up this movie. Here you go. No one can see it ever again. I am the media king.
That would actually be a fun list. The top five movies you'd be willing to give up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like movies you actually like. You can't just pick movies you hate.
Right.
That, like, for better things.
It's a good ass list. Right?
Set You've up. Watched them. Right. You Set have watched them. Right. You will not forget them, mm-hmm. but you will give up ever seeing them again. Mm-hmm.
Set a point in time and go, we're going to murder these directors, which means these movies won't be made.
Yeah.
What are your movies?
I know, that's an right. interesting topic.
For the betterment
Why don't
of
you
movies.
Tweet us or tweet G-Man Reviews?
For the betterment of movies, what movies are you willing to give up?
Actually, in that case, things like The Matrix would be things you'd give up so that bullet time wouldn't exist and you wouldn't have that period every movie using
bullet time. Not giving up The Matrix.
No. Bullet time just has to happen.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
I'd give up Cloud Atlas. I wouldn't give up bullet time.
Sorry, Cloud Atlas. I like it.
Right?
Cloud Atlas.
Good
version of my
And on that note, gentlemen, I'd like to say goodnight. As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmanviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to rate or review the show. Thank you so much for listening and good night.
Oh,
literally,
God.
I'm stopping you there. And as we've been playing, I can't hide you, the rock crowd. I ain't gonna hide you, down. All on that day, I said, Rock, what's the matter with you, Rock? Don't you see I need you, Rock? Lord, 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 all on that day. So I ran to the river, it was bleeding, ran to the sea. It was bleeding, ran to the sea. It was bleeding, all on that day. So I ran to the river, it was boiling, I ran to the sea, it was boiling, I ran to the sea, it was boiling all on that day, so I ran to the river.